KUTX's South by Southwest 2016 coverage is supported by Straight Music Company, helping Texans make music since 1963, and Independence Brewing Company, serving Austin's independent drinkers and thinkers. 3 minutes after 10, I'm Jody Denberg, and welcome to KUTX's annual South by Southwest wrap-up show. And for the fourth year in a row on KUTX, I am joined by Rolling Stone senior writer, journalist, talking head in countless documentaries, and currently the host of the Writer's Block on satellite radio, Mr. David Frick. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Jody. This is very, very special yet again.
It is, and we've done it 4 years on KUTX, and I think about 3 or 4 years on another station, so this is our seventh or eighth foray.
This is such a special hang, and to be able to, you know, come down here, do all the stuff that I do, and then have this as our just sort of our wrap-up and Sunday morning function at the Junction, it's great. I'll have a few more words for you once the coffee kicks in, but let's start with the word great and move from there.
Function at the Junction. With me here, it's dysfunction at the Junction, but that's okay.
I'll bring a little junction, if not function.
Thank you. And you mentioned all the things you've been doing here in Austin during South by Southwest. We're on the air until 2, so we're going to talk about some of the bands you've seen, some of the bands you've heard about. I'd also like to talk about some of the stories you've worked on and been working on for the last, well, since we last met.
Since we last met, about a year ago this Sunday.
And when you're here, you always do some music shopping, and so you have some new items that you've purchased.
I have been spending money that I don't necessarily have or need to spend, but I've been enjoying that. And, you know, I love to buy records. It was the thing that got me started in this. That was how it all began. And I stream, I do the stuff you got to do to get along in the game now. But the idea of walking into a store, finding something that's a surprise, something I didn't know I wanted, and, you know, maybe finding it at a decent price, not totally busting my wallet out. That's such a great, it's a great feeling. And it's something new. It's a new musical experience. It's like going to a gig and seeing something you didn't expect that just, you know, tears your mind open. It's a renewable resource because it happens to me every day.
Well, keep your satchel close by because we're going to dip into that resource over the course of the next 4 hours. And at 12 noon, we will welcome our guest, B.P. Fallon.
Oh, that, I'm looking forward to that. He's quite the character, and he's got whatever history I have. It's nothing compared to what he can talk about going back in the day to John and Yoko, Led Zeppelin, T-Rex. I first met him on the U2 Zoo TV tour, where he was the house DJ. So he's whatever stories I have, he's got way, way more.
I think they will complement each other. And it's also the first day of spring.
It is.
And I was telling you yesterday...
Not by the temperature you've got, but yeah, I'll take your word for it.
This is as chilly as it's been in months. It's actually 51 degrees. We'll have a nice first day of spring today. Actually, a perfect first day of spring. A sunny 62-degree high is what we're expecting. So we should start with a song about spring.
I think that's a fine idea.
And David and I have chosen this Tom Waits number to begin KUTX's South by Southwest wrap-up show on this first morning of spring. Glad to have you there.
You can never hold back spring. Can be sure I will never stop believing. The blushing rose, it will climb. Spring ahead or fall behind. Winter dreams the same dream every time. Baby, you can never hold back spring. And even though you've lost your way, the world is dreaming dreaming of spring. So close your eyes, open your heart to the one who's dreaming of you.
Converging on this 20th of March, the first day of spring in Austin, Texas. This is KETX and our South By wrap-up show. David Frick and Jody Denberg with you. We started with a Tom Waits song, You Never Can Hold Back Spring, from Orphans, Brawlers, Ballers, and Orphans. And David, that three CD package of Tom Waits, kind of a collection of odds and ends, I guess.
It's stuff that he, you know, recorded along the way, songs that didn't make records. And you look at the track listing and the amount, it's three CDs, something like three dozen songs. For most people, that's a box set. It is their career in total. This is the stuff that didn't make the records. It's an extraordinary example of just how much creativity that guy generates and how much he's willing to set to the side to make sure that the actual product, not a great word, but the project is the best that it can be. And it's a great set, and you should have it next to, you know, Closing Time, Heart of a Saturday Night, Bone Machine, everything at Rain Dogs, you know, Swordfish Trombones. It should be right there with everything else.
Tom Waits, You Can Never Hold Back Spring on this first morning of spring. And David chose The Doors' Wintertime Love from Waiting for the Sun. The sun is here. Spring is in Austin. You're going back to New York tomorrow?
Where it's snowing today.
Okay. So you're entitled to some wintertime love.
And, I love winter. I get to wear my leather jacket. The city is beautiful in the snow, at least for the first 12 hours before the dogs get into it and everything turns gray and disgusting. But for those 12 hours, New York can be absolutely beautiful in the snow. So I'm a little sorry I'm missing it, but frankly, I'm happy to be here. So just a little wintertime love for New York from Austin, Texas.
And one thing when David visits, he often has records that aren't out yet and that we don't have access to yet. And one record like that is the forthcoming Jayhawks record, Paging Mr. Proust. Mark Olson not involved in this one, right? It's a Gary Louris Jayhawks this time.
It's a Gary Louris Jayhawks, and the co-producer is Peter Buck, who worked on the record with them, plays guitar all over it. And when I went to Peter's Todos Santos Music Festival in Baja, California in January, the Jayhawks were one of the main bands on the bill, along with Drive-By Truckers, Death Cab for Cutie, and lots of Peter's other friends, Steve Wynn, Joseph Arthur, Chuck Prophet, Scott McCoy, the whole mob. And the Jayhawks played a track from this record at every set, and it became one of my favorite songs of the entire weekend. So that's is it Proust or Proust?
You tell me.
Marcel Proust?
Thank you.
Okay. I'm not trying to be overly intellectual here, but I believe it's Proust.
I appreciate that.
If you page him as Proust, he won't get it.
And also, on the other side, let's talk a little bit about your story with Peter Buck that's at rollingstone.com, because it's the most expansive interview he's given since the demise of R.E.M.
And in fact, he was the one member of the band I didn't speak to at the time that the group announced they were breaking up when they issued that statement on their website. I talked to Mike Mills that day for the magazine, and about maybe 2 weeks later, Michael Stipe was in New York, and he actually came up to the office and sat in my office there, and we talked for about an hour about his life with R.E.M., what led to the breakup. It was a really great conversation, almost putting a circle around my relationship with them, which goes back to like Danceteria in New York in February of 82. But Peter had, you know, he just blew off, man. He just went into seclusion, didn't want to talk to anybody, and, you know, rightly so. It's like, what do you say? My band's done. We had 30 years, time to move on. But it was one afternoon while we were in Todos Santos in Mexico, where we just sat and talked about the end of R.E.M., what he was thinking, what he's working on, the kind of approach to the business now, which he has. It's based on the fact that A, he hates the business, and B, he wants to play with his friends. So, you know, he works on these records. He makes these solo records only on vinyl, does them in like one take, and puts them out, plays with Scott McCoy, tours with the Baseball Project, with Steve Wynn. He just does what he wants to do. The comment he made was his accountant told him, you're busier than you have ever been. You just don't get paid for it.
Produced by Peter Buck, the new album from the Jayhawks, Paging Mr. Proust on KETX. South by Wrap-Up Show.
Aside, the wandering eye has opened. A stare on the whipping and broken. The start of a brand new adventure. Hey now, catch me quick before I walk away. Tell me if there's something I should say.
With a thorn in his side, behind the hatred there lies a murderous desire for love. Love, how can they look into my eyes and still they don't believe me? How can they hear me say those words and still they don't believe me? If they don't believe me now, will they ever believe me? If they don't believe me now, will they ever believe me? Oh, 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 oh. With a thorn in his side, behind the hatred there lies a plundering desire for love, love, love. How can they look into our eyes and still they don't believe us? And after all this time, they don't want to believe us. And if they don't believe us now, will they ever believe us? When you want to live, how do you start? Where do you go? Who do you need to know? Oh, oh, oh.
Is previously unreleased material from Jeff Buckley, and he shall be released right now on KUTX, a version of The Smiths' The Boy with the Thorn in His Side from a new album called You and I. This is the South By wrap-up show, and I'm Jody Denberg here with David Frick. And just when you think they have run the well dry on Jeff Buckley unreleased material, comes this brand new album, You and I.
They find another well. It's these are interesting demos because they were recorded before he recorded that EP at Chennai. He was in residency at Chennai, this club in New York, where he had just started working as a solo artist, and went into the studio, I believe it was across 3 days, and recorded these demos, most of which are covers, and just working through his set, trying to figure out, I guess, his voice. He had been doing the work before with Gary Lucas in their group Gods and Monsters, and had started writing. They had written Grace, Gary, and Jeff together, Mojo Pin. But this was really his club set, and trying to find, I guess, the personality that would ultimately become the album Grace, you know, another couple of years down the line.
Jeff Buckley only released one fully realized studio record in his lifetime, and it was, as David said, Grace. I'm one of those people that are of the opinion that Jeff would have been a lifetime career artist for Columbia Records, not to compare him with Bob Dylan or Bruce Springsteen or Billy Joel, but one of those people that would have had a long career of making music.
Well, it's interesting because the shows that I saw on the Grace tour, the ambition within those, just those songs on the record, and then when he started doing like Alex Chilton's Kangaroo on stage at 14 and 15 minutes a pop, and then doing, you know, Hallelujah, stretching that out, you know, there's a great EP. Actually, it's a, I think it's a French live album where he does Kick Out the Jams by the MC5. There was no area that he felt was, you know, verboten. You know, everything could be attempted, and he just didn't leave himself enough time. And yet within that time, there was the Mystery White Boy sessions. There was the attempt to make that record with Tom Verlaine, these demos, live stuff, all those tracks that were across those EPs. It's an astonishing body of work for a guy that left us way, way too soon.
1997, I believe he passed. Almost 20 years. Jeff Buckley, new archival release, You and I, previously unreleased demos, a cover of the Smiths, of course, and forthcoming Jayhawks material, the album Paging Mr. Proust, Quiet Corners and Empty Spaces, produced by Peter Buck. You mentioned so many of the things that Peter's been doing along with his Todos Santos Festival. He's also co-producing the next record from Alejandro Escovedo.
He mentioned that while we were talking, and you know, that seemed like something he was very, very excited about, and certainly I was, because these are two of my favorite people.
Well, I direct everyone to rollingstone.com. If you go under the music tab, there's actually a whole section that is just labeled David Frick, and that's where you find his blogs that you do when you're moved to do them.
I write when I'm so moved, and, you know, an event, a show I go to, sometimes it's like I go to the gig and then decide to write it afterwards. I don't go specifically to review. It's like inspiration of the moment, a bunch of records, or talking to someone for a story for, say, the magazine. You know, I went down to Todos Santos, did this story, ended up doing this hour interview with Peter. It seemed like a great opportunity to ask him about what his life is like after REM, or talking to Derek Trucks and Warren Haynes last year for the one-year anniversary of the end of the Allman Brothers. That was a story in the magazine, but the amount of time I spent talking to Warren and Derek, there was so much more to talk about. It's like, why keep it to myself?
No, I direct everyone to those blogs. I read them regularly, and they inform me. And I don't want to belabor this point, David, but we've lost a lot of musicians very quickly in 2016. We're going to tip the headphones to them throughout the show. And up first is Mr. Steve Young. And he passed away on Thursday in Nashville. And Steve is a guy that spent some time in Austin. He certainly was one of the first to do what became known as Outlaw Country, I guess best known for Seven Bridges Road.
Seven Bridges Road, which I actually heard first on his, I believe it might have been his first solo album in, say, 68 or 69 on A&M. It was called, I think it was called Rock, Salt, and Nails. Fabulous record. That was the first time I heard Seven Bridges Road. It actually got airplay in Philadelphia for a bit, and I played it when I was in college radio, but there's also a wonderful cover of that song by Tracy Nelson and Mother Earth from the early 70s on one of the Reprise albums that is really worth getting.
Steve Young also wrote Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean for Waylon Jennings. He has songs that have been cut by Hank Williams Jr. Willie Nelson did a Steve Young song, It's Not Supposed to Be That Way. Again, Steve Young passed away at 73. On Thursday in Nashville, and this is from one of his latter period records, Primal Young, from the late Steve Young, on the KUTX South by Wrap Up Show.
Let the bully woolly roll,
and roll, and roll.
Cause I feel so think I've ever had. Let the boogie woogie roll.
Let it roll, let it
roll.
I feel so sad.
David, I queued up the Drifters. Let's let him roll, and then we'll come back to Steve Young.
She's got a face like an angel, built like a streamlined train. You know she came back once, now she's gone again. So let the woogie woogie roll.
Let it roll, let it roll.
Jump up through the way. Roll up on the street till I spin on my door. Cause these two blues have got to go. Let the woogie woogie roll.
Let it roll, let it roll.
I feel so sad. And when she looked at me, her eyes just shone like gold. When she looked at me, her eyes just shone like gold. And when she did the twist, she rocked me to my soul. So let the boogie woogie roll.
Let it roll, let it roll.
Drum my blues away. Well, here today and gone tomorrow. She left my poor heart full of sorrow. Let the boogie woogie roll. Drown my blues away. Put me down, let the boogie woogie roll.
Let it roll, let it roll.
Drive my blues away.
My blues
away. So let the boogie woogie roll.
Let it roll, let it roll.
Let the boogie woogie roll.
Let it roll, let it roll.
Let the boogie woogie roll.
Let it roll, let it roll.
Let the boogie woogie roll.
Let it roll, let it roll.
Let the boogie woogie roll.
Let it roll.
Drive my blues away.
Hey. Remember the year that Clayton Delaney died. They said for the last 2 weeks he suffered and cried. It made a big impression on me, although I was a barefoot kid. They said he got religion at the end. Well, I'm glad he did. 'Cause our Clayton was the best guitar picker in our town. Yeah, I thought he was a hero, and I used to follow Clayton around. He used to tell me, boy, you ought to throw that old guitar away. There ain't no money in it, it will lead you to an early grave. $100 if he could only hear me now. Well, I remember the year that Clayton Delaney died. And nobody ever knew it. I went out in the woods and cried. I know there's a whole lot of preachers. They know I
outlaw country singer Steve Young, who passed away Thursday at the age of 73. Best noted for his song Seven Bridges Road, which the Eagles cut, but also did Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean, and Willie's 1977 recording, It's Not Supposed to Be That Way. He wrote so many songs, made his home in Austin for a while, and David Frick and I picked out from Steve Young the year that Clayton Delaney died from a latter period record, Primal Young. So, as I said, a tip of the headphones to Steve Young, and a tip of the headphones and the microphone to our friend Paul Ray, who passed away a few weeks ago. The Drifters with Clyde McFadder was first. Let the boogie woogie roll, which we did, from Drift and Dream. And David Frick, you were nice enough to reach out to me after Paul Ray passed and express your condolences. And so many people have done so, including last Wednesday at the Austin Music Awards, Robert Plant. That was one of the three songs, that Drifter's song, that he chose to pay tribute to Paul Ray with.
Well, Paul Ray was someone, I actually never met him, but I remember many of the early South by Southwests that I came to and going to the Austin Music Awards. He was the host. And so he was just, he characterized a lot of what I thought Austin probably was. And then it was like in this sort of tall, lanky frame with the delivery and just like his knowledge of the music and the spirit and that camaraderie that he would show with everyone who came up to the podium to get their gong. I just thought this guy just like is Austin down to his toenails. And I wish I had had a chance to meet him, but I got so much of the vibe every year. And it's nice to be able to pay some extra tribute to him today.
Well, Robert Plant not only did the song that we played, Let the Boogie Woogie Roll, originally done by the Drifters at the Music Awards last Wednesday, he also did the Coasters' Youngblood and a third song by a group called, I think it was the Jive Five, one of their B-sides, because Paul liked to play the B-sides.
Well, Robert is a B-sides guy, too. You start talking to him about records, and he starts just, it just comes out, whether it's old Atlantic R&B records or talking, you know, when he and I get together, we always somehow manage to mention Moby Grape or Arthur Lee and Love. One of the great tribute shows that he played was the Arthur Lee benefit in New York shortly before Arthur died. He came and played an entire set of Love covers, R&B stuff, some Zeppelin things. It was a fantastic set. And with the Beacon Theater, and it was like the end of a very long show. Nils Lofgren played, Ian Hunter, a bunch of local musicians, and then Robert comes out and does this set basically to raise money for Arthur's health care. And unfortunately, Arthur died not long after that. But it turned out to be a great farewell, as well as, you know, an opportunity to raise money for his debts and to bring people together to appreciate these songs. Robert is very much, he's a record collector, but his passion for the music runs very, very deep.
Robert Plant plays Austin City Limits Live at the Moody Theater tonight with the Sonics. You going?
You betcha.
And for anyone that missed Robert Plant during his more recent stay here, he lived here for a couple of years, as you know. Monday, he will also be at the ACL Live taping the television program, and that will be live streamed on Monday night. So if you're going to see Robert Plant, have a good time tonight. B.P. Fallon, journalist, DJ, musician, and more, joins us at noon. He worked with Led Zeppelin for a long time, so I'm sure we'll hear a bit more about the lads when B.P. rolls around.
Support for KUTX's South by Southwest 2016 coverage comes from Straight Music Company and Independence Brewing Company.
Support comes from the Graham Reynolds Project by Ballet Austin, a marriage of movement and music, pairing Stephen Mills' choreography with Graham Reynolds' symphonic sounds. April 1st through 3rd at the Long Center. Tickets at balletaustin.org.
Support comes from Lagunitas Brewing Company, brewers of ales, mystery, and romance in Petaluma, Chicago, and on the surface of the moon if need be, because wherever folks go, beer speaks, people mumble. Follow their mumblings at lagunitas.com.
Before millennials started shortening totally to totes because, you know, they're lazy, a tote was a carrying bag preferred by public radio listeners. Since we're old school, we're bringing back the OT, original tote. Our new one says all you need to know about living in Austin. Love Austin music. Support KUTX with a donation of $10 a month right now, and we'll send it to you along with a t-shirt that says the same thing. It's our early bird special, and it's the totes, total public radio package. A tote bag and a t-shirt for $10 a month. But don't procrastinate, like a millennial. This offer is only good until midnight, March 29th. Donate at KUTX.org. Thanks. No millennials were harmed in the making of this promo. In fact, they all got trophies because they're all winners.
Support comes from UT Center for Professional Ed, offering the Data Analytics Certificate Program. Info session March 23rd to explore opportunities in data analytics. More at professionaled.utexas.edu.
A good first morning of spring to you. I'm Jody Denberg here with Rolling Stone's David Frick, and it's our annual South by Wrap-Up show. And ordinarily in this time slot is my friend Art Levy. And David, I don't know if you saw, but NPR Music each year, and including this year, lists 100 songs they recommend for South by Southwest, and you can download them for free. And that was a little overwhelming to me, and Art said, I've already gone through it. Let me give you about 10 songs.
So you have like an in-house editor.
Oh, he's a producer. He does so many wonderful things behind the scenes. And yeah, he vetted it for me and gave me about 10 songs. And then there were five of those that I really caught into. And one was this woman, Gweno Saunders. Have you heard of her?
You know, it's funny. I remembered where I heard this name and this record from. She was in a group. She's Welsh, obviously, as you'll tell when you try to pronounce the song title. But she was in a group called the Pipettes, who were a Welsh kind of 60s-style garage girl group who made a really fantastic record some years ago that came out in the States and kind of didn't seem to do anything more. And then she has surfaced with this record, which has gotten a lot of attention in Britain. Major spreads in all of the big magazines and BBC radio, et cetera, et cetera. So this could be her shot by herself over here.
She played South by this past Wednesday. Her name is Gweno. Gweno Saunders, her given name. The album Why Did Olaf, which is how I will choose to pronounce this Welsh verbiage. And the song Patriarcheth on the KUTX South by Wrap-Up Show. I'd like to introduce you to Gweno.
You had left.
Sparks flying this morning on KUTX, the South By wrap-up show. That's a band called The Hillbenders from Missouri, and they actually did an entire cover of The Who's Tommy as a bluegrass Opry, and that was Sparks. And the project was sparked and produced by Louis J. Myers, who passed away a week ago Friday. And David, that was a real shock to those of us here in the Austin music community. It was in the late 80s that Louis was one of the folks who kicked around the idea of this festival that we now call South by Southwest 30 years later.
As legacies go, it's a really strong one.
And Louis J. Myers, also a noted banjo player, a lot of banjo on that Hillbenders tune. And right about now, he used to be calling the shots at the softball game. He would at least be a part of it. The post-South by softball game. I remember him best, though, and in my memory, in his most recent incarnation, which was as the manager of this wonderful songwriter, Sam Baker, and in the earliest incarnation that I knew him in the early and mid-80s, booking Liberty Lunch. He had a fondness for reggae music. He managed bands like the Killer Bees, and he was always there at the front watching the Nevilles or the reggae, and so that was a tribute to our friend Louis J. Myers, the Hillbenders' version of Sparks. And Gweno, a new artist from Wales, who, as I mentioned, Art Levy is usually in this slot from 10 in the morning till 2. He turned me on to Gweno as one of the 100 songs you could download for free at NPR Radio Online and her new solo album, Why Did Olaf? Well, as I have David Frick here, who is no stranger to radio, you may hear him on Sirius XM. The show is called The Writer's Block. It airs Thursday nights at 8 Eastern. It's also on Saturday afternoons at 4 Eastern, or you can listen to it on demand. And I also mentioned David's work with Rolling Stone, where he's the senior writer. But David, you do a lot of freelance work. You're in a lot of documentaries. You write quite frequently for Mojo magazine out of England. Is that where the Joni Mitchell piece is either showing up or going to show up?
Yes, there is a Joni Mitchell feature that I wrote, and it's in the current issue of Mojo. And it's focused on her mid-70s records, the jazz period, as people call it, which really starts with Court and Spark, which she made with the guys in the LA Express, Tom Scott, Larry Carlton, Max Bennett, John Guerin, the drummer, and then through Hissing of Summer Lawns, Hajira, Don Juan's Reckless Daughter, Miles of Isles, the live album that came in that sequence, and then finally with Mingus, which was an overtly jazz record made with guys from what would be Weather Report, Peter Erskine, the drummer, Jaco Pastorius on bass, Herbie Hancock plays piano, Wayne Shorter's on saxophone. It was really a fascinating piece to write because I got to speak with the session musicians, Peter Erskine, who had photos of the Mingus sessions, which he had been holding on to for years, and he actually gave them to Mojo as part of the layout. So you have pictures of Joni with Herbie Hancock and Jaco, you know, on the days that they recorded that record. I spoke to Larry Carlton, the bass player Max Bennett, and guitarist Robin Ford, who joined the LA Express in time for the Miles of Isles live album, that tour. And they all had really wonderful stories about how the songs were shaped in the studio, her manner on tour, you know, being basically one of the guys hanging out, telling jokes, really just enjoying that camaraderie and also enjoying this adventure in a music beyond really kind of her folk origins. Although one of the things that she, you know, said in one of the interviews I quoted was that, you know, one of her first big records as a teenager was a Lambert Hendrickson Ross record. You know, she said, that was my Beatles because I learned every song on it. And so doing this jazz thing in the 70s was almost a natural impulse.
Of course, most of us are curious about Joni's health. We hear occasional reports from, like, our friend Judy Collins made a statement the other day that Joni was healing. Any insight into her state at this point?
Not from me. Obviously, I wasn't able to speak to her for the piece, but she's apparently in recuperation from that, you know, episode of some time back, and just wishing her the best. And, you know, whether she's able to still make music, the music that we have is, you know, there's no end of discovery to it. And it's nice to be able to, you know, express these things while people are still here.
Now, you ticked off all of the records that this article in Mojo concerns itself with, the 1970s records from Court and Spark to about Mingus, or actually Don Juan's daughter. My favorite has always been the Hissing of Summer Lawns, which was the follow-up to Court and Spark,
which was her most commercially successful record. She came back and did not give you part B of Court and Spark.
Well, that was one thing all the session guys said, was that, you know, she was not interested in just replicating the hits. Court and Spark was an enormous record for her. And she said, well, you know, I'm done. What I'd really like to do is sample Burundi drummers and use Moog synthesizers. And so that's exactly what she did.
be seeing the stars tonight. Would you like to go up on a deck and look at them with me? Have you seen the stars tonight? Would you like to go up for a stroll and keep me company? Do you know?
This is 98.9 KUTX Leander, KUTHD2 90.5 Austin, and KUTX.org. Community-supported public radio from UT Austin.
Thank you. Can I